Father, we thank you for this fellowship today.
Amen.
Like your apostle, John, we say our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And it is in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We pray that you'll help us tonight to speak to us, to appear to us, to touch our heart, to show us the way to go on, things that we do not know and what we need.
Amen.
You know what we need.
Amen.
Even we ourselves do not know what we need. So we turn our hearts to you and trust in you.
Amen.
And have faith in your living word.
Amen.
And we ask that you would bless all the saints here in Toronto.
Yes.
Thank you for what you are doing in each one of us.
Amen.
Yes, only you can take us up.
Amen.
And lead us all the way to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, we know you're coming soon, and we pray that you will prepare and help us to prepare for your soon return.
Amen.
Definitely, Lord, we do not want to miss the kingdom.
Amen.
We all want to make it.
Amen.
Amen. Use this time of fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. It's not a conference. I don't even know what to say. But I think the main burden that the Lord has been speaking to us all these years now, in fact, even since 2015, the Lord has shown us very clearly that He's coming very soon. You know, when the Lord says that He's coming soon, it doesn't mean that He's going to be here tomorrow or next week. Because the Lord is giving us time to prepare. If you don't know and you don't believe the Lord is coming soon, you will not be preparing right. So if you don't know when the exam is coming, right, James, you're in school. So when there's no exam, you just play around and enjoy your games and do so many other things. You're not prepared until the last 2 weeks. Oh no, the exam is coming. And then the scram. Day and night you'll be preparing for the exam because you might fail, right? And you want to do your best to make it. So the Lord warned all of us that He will be returning soon. Even the apostles in the early days, they believed that the Lord was coming during their time. Can you imagine if the Lord told His apostles, because they were asking Him, right? Lord, when are you coming back? And what are the signs of your coming? What did the Lord tell them? Nobody knows. The Lord says, nobody knows. Only the Father knows. So the Lord didn't tell them. Suppose the Lord told them, oh, don't worry. You'll be 2,000 years later. I'll be coming back 2,000 years later. How would you feel if you were there at that time?
Too long.
2,000 years. I wouldn't even be around. So nobody would be waiting for the Lord. Any of the apostles were right about the Lord's soon return. But all the apostles wrote concerning the Lord's return, and they were expecting the Lord to come during their time. And they were preparing. Because you need to be prepared when the Lord comes. Salvation is free. It's a gift of God. You don't have to do anything. Just believe and receive it in yourself. But to inherit the kingdom is something else.
It's a reward. The reward is not food.
You need to work hard for it. Be prepared. I know you're very quick. You will be quick. But if you're just playing around, that's fine, you know. It'll take your time. But if you're in the competition, how fast can you do it?
9 seconds.
9 seconds. My goodness. Can you do that? You can't do that. How long did you practice?
A lot.
A lot. If you don't practice, you can't make it in 9 seconds. And what about the best one? How many seconds?
World record.
It's 4 seconds. Amazing.
And of course, the promise of God and His purpose is not just to save you. His purpose is to make you kings and priests unto God. Amen. This is Revelation 1, chapter 5 and 6. He saved us and redeemed us from our sins. Period. Is that all? Stephen, what did he say? In order to make us kings and priests unto God. His Father. Is it easy to be a king? Even in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. And it was the angels proclaiming that the Lord has paid such a great price to redeem us, to save us from our sins, in order to make us kings and priests unto God His Father, and we shall reign in the heaven.
On the earth.
When?
On the earth.
Come on, how come everybody wants to go to heaven? We shall reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10.
And when the Lord comes back, He is going to bring His kingdom down to this earth. You may not realize this earth is so important, the most important planet in this universe. Would you like to live in the moon? Why not? Take a trip there and go, you might like it, and move there. What about Mars? What's up there? Nothing. This earth is so wonderful, beautiful. There's no place like this earth. They search all over the best telescope, right? They couldn't find any place like this earth. So beautiful. Huh?
Oh, sorry. Continue.
No problem. Even in Job chapter 38, for example, the Lord asked Job a very interesting question. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? God even measured it. And this wonderful earth was created. Where were you? He said.
And when God created the earth, all the angels, the sons of God in those days, they were just rejoicing. They couldn't believe. That's a wonderful creation. Isn't heaven nice enough?
It didn't say when God created heaven, the angels were rejoicing. But when He made the earth beautiful, with all the living things on this earth. Wonderful.
Look at Canada, isn't it wonderful? I heard Calgary is a beautiful place. I need to go there sometime.
Yes, you should.
Let's go there sometime. What a wonderful place. Vancouver, George.
Welcome.
You like Vancouver? It's a beautiful place. Beautiful place. Wonderful place. And there in the States, you have a wonderful creation of God. Who's going to enjoy all this creation? The monkeys? The turkeys? The donkeys? Suppose there were no human beings on this earth. Who's going to enjoy all this beautiful creation of God? God is a wonderful artist. Look at the moon, it's so beautiful. So beautiful, wonderful. All of God's creation is just in harmony. It's
Amen.
Why did He create such a wonderful earth? It's for your dogs, for the cats. For whom?
For men.
For men. Not even for the angels. I think that angels are definitely jealous of us.
Yeah.
For men. For you. Would you like to live under the sea like a fish?
No, you wouldn't. Go swimming once in a while, it's okay, right? Maybe. But to live under the sea, live in a cave? No.
So why did God create such a beautiful earth? It's because He loves us. Mm-hmm. It's for mankind. Among all of God's creation, God created man according to His image, in His likeness. We, the human beings, are the most beautiful creation of God. Or would you like to be a parrot? With so many colors, all kinds of feathers, a buzzer. We never thought about how God loves you. Yes. This is the love of God for mankind. And He created everything for man. And when He created Adam and Eve, He created man, He says, have dominion over all of my creation. Rule over all of my creation. His desire is for man to possess the earth.
Amen. Yeah.
To enjoy it. Yeah. He even created a garden for Adam and Eve. He planted a garden. It's called the Garden of Eden. Pleasure. Right. Why did God do this? Because He loves us. This is a very wonderful expression. No wonder this God, the only true God, He wants to be your father. Are you a father? Yes, you have two wonderful children. What is your treasure? What is the most precious possession that you have? That you treasure the most? Your bank account? Your Subaru? What?
The earth.
Your children. You're a father. Which father doesn't love his children? Which religion calls their God as their father? You tell me. They're all afraid of their idols. They're so ugly, those idols. Some of those idols are... If you take a look at it, you might have nightmares at night. But this wonderful God, our Creator, but He's not only our Creator, He wants to be our beloved Father.
Amen.
Our beloved Father. And He created us to give us His life. His life. Because we are supposed to be His children. That's why in 1 John chapter 3, because our basis of this conference is in 1 John, right? Behold what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
Children of God. The love of God. That's why God created us in His image, in His likeness. And His purpose is to put His wonderful eternal life into us. Unfortunately, man made the wrong choice. Man made the wrong choice. And I hope we don't make a wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know, in our whole life, as a children of God, as Christians, even daily, you have to make a choice. Suppose God told you, no, don't do this. No, you have a choice. What would you do?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. That's right. But unfortunately, we make a lot of wrong choices. Because of the flesh. Right. I'm talking about us as Christians now. We're born of God, we're born again. His divine life dwells in us. But sin dwells in our flesh because Satan did it. In the very beginning, man made a wrong choice and sin entered him. We all have a problem. In Galatians, it says what? Sin, the flesh fights against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So that it's hard for you to make a choice. You don't know what you should do. Well, you cannot do what you want to do. Even in Romans chapter 8, Paul said, definitely, I think before he really knew Christ, he was... For God, he believed in God. He was even a Pharisee. He said, the things that I know I should do and I want to do, that I didn't do. But the evil that I shouldn't do, he made that choice to do it. But he says, it's not me, because it's sin that dwells in me forcing you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So even today as Christians, you have to make a choice, like Adam and Eve. You still have to make a choice. You want to do what God wants you to do, or you want to do what man wants you to do? You want to follow the tradition of man, or you want to obey the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice. Meaning to say also that there is a spiritual warfare going on. You think, I'm already saved, yes, but you still need to be saved to the uttermost. The initial salvation is yours. You believe in the Lord, you will never be judged forever and be damned forever in the lake of fire. Definitely not.
you're safe from that. But what about the kingdom? We inherit the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's a reward. It's a matter of the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make a choice. You have to make the choice. Don't think Christians cannot walk in darkness. 1 John chapter 1, in the very beginning, in the first chapter, right?
Yeah.
The first message is God is light. In him is no darkness at all. What about in you?
There's a lot of darkness.
A lot of darkness. Not only in you, but in many of us, in all of us. He's talking to Christians. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
You think we Christians don't walk in darkness anymore? So, praise the Lord. The eternal light within us is light, and it will expose the darkness within us. I think the brothers will share this in this coming days, right? They don't think that we are a Christian and everything is all right. Look at the whole situation of Christianity today amongst us believers. We have a lot of problems. Don't think we have no problems. So, yeah, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight the battle.
Amen.
Amen.
To be a Christian, it's not just to be saved and children of God and everything is okay and waiting to go to heaven. No.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about God's plan and preparing for the Lord's coming. You have to be prepared. The apostles coming back to that point in the early days, they all talk about the soon return of the Lord. They believe the Lord is coming back during their time. You can read it, 1 Thessalonians, almost in every chapter, Paul mentioned about the coming of the Lord. Peter talks about the Lord is coming very soon, is delaying a little bit for your sake, giving you a chance to prepare. It's coming. But for your sake, it's delayed. And John says, the Lord is at hand, is right there at the door. And James also talks about the Lord's coming. And the Lord himself in the book of Revelation chapter 22 says, behold, I'm coming
quickly.
You believe that? How quick?
Quickly.
Behold, I'm coming quickly. But you know, he said that 2,000 years ago. He said that 2,000 years ago. Now we are at the end of the 2,000 years. We're living at the end of this age. The Lord is definitely coming.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. Amen.
In the real sense of the word.
Amen.
Perhaps not 2,000 years, but perhaps within 2 years. How about that?
Amen.
We all know, beginning in 1948, when Israel was revived as a nation, which was a miracle.
And the Lord warned us, the Gospel of Matthew, that that is the first sure sign of the Lord's coming. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is coming at that time right away. And then the Lord gave us the further sign. In 1967, Jerusalem will be restored.
Amen.
No longer trodden under the foot of the Gentiles. And that happened in 1967. And the Lord said, if that happened, then the time of the nations comes to an end. 1967 to now is approximately 50 years. And then the Lord showed us that Trump is going to win. It's amazing. We didn't know who that person was, as the Lord told us. Really, I'm not lying. The Lord definitely told us this man is going to win. At that time, the whole world says, no, come on. Right? The media says, no, come on. Even at that time, the Lord already told us he is like King Cyrus.
Right.
In Isaiah chapter 45. We even had a conference in Isaiah, right?
Yes.
You remember that conference? John even stood up and gave a word. He said, there's Mr. T, there's the King Cyrus of today. So Mr. T, right? And who, sure enough, he was. And the Lord knew this man to proclaim Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. An amazing declaration. So much so that the Jewish nation made a coin. And in that coin, they made the face of King Cyrus and Trump together. Oh, we were quite excited to see that. And a year later, the year of the what? The Abraham Accord. It could very well be the covenant was made according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. I'm just saying this historically to show you how close the Lord's return could be. That may also indicate that the last 7 years have started. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. And we're not saying it is, but there is a possibility. And then in the middle of the year, it says that person, the person who made that covenant, will cause my sacrifices, meaning to say the sacrifices of Lord, of God, to cease. Meaning to say that Jews at that time, any time between the first in the within the first 300 years, will start to offer their sacrifices to God. Animal sacrifices. But then in Numbers chapter 19, there's a very important requirement for that to happen, and that is the ashes of the red heifer. For 2,000 years, no one could discover a red heifer without any defect. Until last year. In Texas. the Lord has put upon the heart of a farmer as they will raise up cattle. To try to raise up the red heifer. And they succeeded in raising up five of them. And in September 15 of last year, they delivered it. This five red heifer secretly from Texas to New York and flew them to Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. And we saw some of the rabbis there and the Jews were dancing and were celebrating. They were so out of themselves. They were so excited. Five of them. And at that time, they were about 1 year old, September 15th. And according to the Jewish tradition, the red heifer will only be qualified to be offered up and be burned and get the ashes if they're full 2 years old. And sometimes if that time and now, one red heifer was disqualified, so only four left. No, four. They were only born.
Right.
And now September 15 this year will be in 15 days. 14 days. Love it. They will be full 2 years old. At least one of them will be full 2 years old. You think you're excited, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, the Temple Institute, they're in Jerusalem, were more excited than anybody else.
Yeah.
What does it tell you? That if it really were true, and one of them is fully qualified, they will not wait, because they say as long as they start as a third year, you shouldn't wait until the fourth year, because something might happen to the red heifer in between, right?
Yep.
Meanwhile, I don't know, some gray hair may grow, just like us, so we'll be from gray hair.
Or get injured.
Or get injured.
Yeah.
Or get sick, because it has to be perfect.
Right.
So you say they would not do it right away? Right? Doesn't mean that, okay, well, we're going to start for the animal sacrifices, but to prevent anything to happen to the red heifer, what would you have done? What would you do?
Burn him.
Do it right away.
Right.
At least you have the ashes of the red heifer.
Yeah.
Wow. So you can realize that everything is prepared by God. For 2,000 years, they couldn't find one. And now all of a sudden, they have five. One is disqualified. Four. And out of the four, they can choose anyone.
Right.
How about that? If indeed this happened, that would be another very sure sign that the last 7 years not only have started, but the last 3.5 years may begin anytime. That means the time is getting shorter and shorter. I don't think the Lord is going to wait another 2,000 years to come back, because from Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. From Abraham to the first coming of Christ is another 2,000 years. And from The second coming, the first coming of Christ unto him today is now 2,000 years. So altogether 6,000 years. And then the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years. So altogether 7,000 years. Number seven is a very important scriptural number. Six plus one. Just like Genesis chapter one. God created. Or I would say renovated the earth because it was judged. And how many days? Learnville?
6 days.
And the seventh day is?
Rested.
Sabbath. How come God did it in 6 days, not in 5 days? Maybe four. But God could have just did it in one day. Let there be all things, and all of a sudden, all things are there. Wouldn't that be much easier and faster? What would you have done if you have that power of God? Let there be everything. All of a sudden, everything is there. Would you do it like heaven? Let there be light. And there was light, so it was good. Okay, then he stopped. He stopped. And that's the first day. And then waited for the second day. And the third day, the fourth day. And then at the end of the 6 day, he created man. He made man in a very special way. And then he entered into the Sabbath rest. Six plus one. It's a very simple mathematic, like James. So you can see in every age, God has provided 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. And then the old covenant from Abraham to the first coming of our Lord, another 2,000 years. Why 2,000? Why not 2,500 years? And then from the ascension of the Lord all the way until today, another 2,000 years. And then the millennial kingdom is 10,000 years. 7,000. Why 1,000? The longer the better. You think God just does anything and everything at random? No. God doesn't do anything at random. He planned everything before the foundation of the world. Right? Even in sending his beloved son, Jesus Christ, it says in that the fullness of the time, that means at the right time, God sent his son. Even the Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, people are saying, why don't you go to Jerusalem? Come, go, everybody's going there. When the Lord said, your time is any time, but my time was not yet come. Whatever the Lord has fulfilled on this earth is absolutely according to the appointed time of the feast. Why is it the Lord has go quickly? Straight to Jerusalem to keep the appointed time of the feast of the Passover. He has to make it as a very time because he's the reality of the Passover. He didn't have a choice. The Lord could have said, Father, I'm already very tired, let me rest. 3 weeks, okay, or 3 more weeks. No. He has to rise up from the death when? On the third day, early the third day. Otherwise, the scripture will not be fulfilled. And then he will say corruption. But Psalm says, you will not suffer my holy one to see corruption. So if the Lord lies in the grave more than what? 27 hours, you're a doctor. How many hours corruption begins?
There you go.
What? Between 28 to 30 hours. That's why the Lord died at the very end of the first day, and then the whole 24 hours of the Sabbath, and early in the morning, the Jewish day begins at 6 o'clock in the evening. So early in the third day is what time? I'm saying this to tell you that God has his appointed time. You can do it according to your time if you like. But you're so free. Right? But God is not that free. He set his time.
Amen.
And when did he pour out the Holy Spirit? And the day of Pentecost. The time was appointed. The Lord had no choice. You had a lot of choice. You can do whenever you like, whatever you like, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. So every situation that is concerning the Lord, concerning his first coming, concerning his second coming, is all appointed. It's all appointed. And we are living at a very special time concerning the Lord's coming. Whether it is or not, it doesn't matter. He will come. Not because we believe it, not because nobody's waiting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, when the Lord came the first time, how many people were expecting him?
Yeah, a few.
How few? Very, very to all the person. And even Mary was surprised. But it was God's appointed time. But so many of his people missed it. They missed it.
Yeah.
How about his second coming?
Come.
You know, the Lord's second coming is not okay all of a sudden come. No, it is a secret coming and an open coming.
Yeah.
In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, there it says, all eyes shall see him. That's his open coming. But his secret coming is like a thief in the night to rapture all those who are ready for the kingdom. Everybody says, oh, we'll all be taken. No, that is not what the Bible says.
Amen.
Only the overcomers among those who were dead will be taken. But Revelation chapter 12 says very clearly, the man child will be taken.
Amen.
Not everyone will be taken, but those who overcome. Not those who believe, but those who overcome.
Amen.
Overcome what? Right. Overcome the first love, losing the first love. You know, the Lord, he just wants you to love him in a normal way. I have not heard of Christians that says, I don't love the Lord Jesus. Have you?
No.
No. Everybody says, I love the Lord. I love Jesus, right? But the Lord didn't want just a general love from us. He wants us to have the best love.
Amen.
The Lord did not tell the church in Ephesus, I have against you because you don't love me. Did he say that? Do you love the Lord, George?
Yes.
He said yes. You see, the first love, the best love.
Probably not.
Probably not the goodness. You need to repent. That's what the Lord says. Because He deserves the best of all. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 says, the Lord must have the preeminence.
Amen.
Nobody and nothing is above the Lord. I don't care who you are. Paul is not above the Lord. Peter is not above the Lord. Peter is not I, but Christ.
Amen.
You know the boast of Paul? What did Paul say? I'm the chief apostle. Did he say that?
Chief of sinners.
Chief sinners. Good. Have you ever heard anybody boasting that he's a chief sinner? Have you? Paul says he's a chief sinner. And the Lord himself gave a parable that any other servant, after you did everything, you should say, I'm an unprofitable servant. Who is profitable? Who is doing the work? We are nothing. We can do this. What are we? But a church, and each one of us individually, we have to set the Lord above everything.
Amen. Amen.
His own best love. Not just the first. The Greek word zoe means also the best. You love your pastor more than the Lord. You listen to him more than the Lord. We need to love the Lord above the temples.
Amen.
His God, he deserves the best of love.
Amen.
If we say that a church is the bride of Christ, then the Lord is our bridegroom, our beloved bridegroom.
Amen.
Have you ever called the Lord, oh, beloved Jesus? You call him the Lord Jesus, yes. James, what about learning to say, oh, beloved Jesus? Okay. Start to practice it from your heart. If the church doesn't love the Lord anymore, ask the best of the beloved bridegroom, then in the eyes of the Lord, we are already fallen. We are fallen. Have to repent. And we talk so much about life, but if that best love for the Lord is no longer there, that means you're not really enjoying the tree of life. Because the reward for the overcome is to eat of the tree of life. The proof that we are in the best love, and the Lord is our best love, that's the proof of life.
Amen.
We talk about life. But if the Lord is not your best love, I don't know what life you're talking about.
Amen.
So the first church in Revelation chapter 1 is Ephesus. And in the book of Ephesus, a church is not built up by ministry and so many good teachings. What did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 4? The church builds itself. Itself, it builds itself.
In love.
In love. How do we build the church here for all the time? So Paul told the church as Ephesus, walk in the light and walk in love. Exactly what the Apostle John says in 1 John. Christ loves the church. And the church must love him back as it is loved. So this is very important to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we need to overcome is to overcome our coldness against the Lord. It's not enough just to love him, but to love him the most.
Amen.
He must have the first place. Because he's God. He's God. If he is no longer the first place in our life, then many other things will distract you.
Amen. Yeah.
You'll be distracted by many things. Like the song says, Lord, we have been drawn off by a few things.
Many things.
Many things. Your children, your business, your possession. Yourself, special. So many things. Everything will distract us from the Lord. And that's why the second church is like Pergamos. And the church, they're mixed up in a word. And the Lord wants to recover the church.
Amen.
I'm just jumping over to Philadelphia. What does Philadelphia mean?
Brother,
leave love. Without that, we can forget about a church life.
Amen.
And we have to overcome. It's a battle. Overcoming is a battle because we have an enemy. The enemy is not men. Right? The enemy is Satan, the devil, the dragon in Revelation chapter 12. The accuser of the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Deceiver of the whole world. But don't accuse each other.
Oh, no.
Love what it does. Forgive what it does.
Amen.
Just like the Lord loves us. So it's not the doctrine, it's not the teachings. My goodness. What did Paul say? He warns us about knowledge. He didn't say the wrong knowledge puffs up. This is the knowledge puffs up.
Right.
So what if you have so much knowledge? The more knowledge we have, the more we'll fight one another. You disagree with me, I disagree with you. At the end, we become enemies.
Yeah.
So, but love builds up. Amen. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says. If anyone think he knows, he still doesn't know. But if anyone knows God, he is known of God.
Amen.
He is known of God.
Amen.
I don't want when the Lord comes back to tell me, who are you?
Oh, no.
Well, didn't you know I gave so many conferences, and especially in Toronto? The Lord would say, who are you? I don't know you. That would be, I don't know even how to describe it. Terrible.
Yes.
Be rejected by the Lord. The Lord's warrior has already left you. Chapter 7. Many in those days will say, "Oh, Lord, Lord, have I not preached in your name? Have I not in your name done many good works? Have I not in your name cast out demons?" Well, so powerful, right? What does the Lord say? Good work. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, come, come. The Lord says, "I don't know you." I don't think doing a lot of work for God is already approved by them. God will not ask, "How much work have you done?" So who is doing it? Is it you or me? Who is doing it? So we need to overcome. And the promise in this seven epistles is he who overcomes. The Thyatira, the Lord says, "I will give him authority over the nations, and you will rule over them with an iron rod." Don't use the iron rod on the saints, okay? It's over the nations. Don't use the iron rod against the brothers and sisters. And then to Laodicea, the Lord promised, "He who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me on my throne." Wow. We call kings to sit with him on his throne, just like him. It's just like the Lord himself. This is just like me. I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. This is a reward, not he who believes. It's not a free gift, okay? It's not a free gift. But it's a reward. But to gain this reward, you need to overcome.
Amen.
You need to overcome. If you say, "Okay, I just want to sit with him, but I don't want to overcome," they can dream on. Then I would tell you to dream on. No. If you want to sit with him on his throne, overcome.
Amen.
Follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Don't follow man. No man is perfect. No, follow the Lamb. Revelation chapter 14.
Amen.
Right? The first fruits, those who are standing with him and happy among Zion before the throne of God, are those who follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes.
Amen.
But how many Christians today are following the Lamb? We are following someone, right? Who is worthy for us to follow? Who has been to the throne already that I can follow, that can bring us to the throne? Muchan, are you there sitting on the throne already? So how are you going to help me to go there?
I guess
you can. Neither can I help you, because I've not been there. I'm only sitting on the chair, not on the throne. He is the only one.
Amen.
That endured the cross. Like Hebrews chapter 12 says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, suffered the shame."
Amen.
"And now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high." He's already there. So why would you follow somebody who is not there? Who are you going to follow? The Lamb. Follow his example.
Amen.
This is why Peter is very wonderful. Peter says, "Christ suffered for us." Is that good enough? No, he says, "Leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps." What example? Preaching? feeding 10,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Walking on the sea, you want to follow that? Try it, okay. Right. Have you ever tried it? Walking on the sea. No, that's not the example the Lord wants you to follow. But he left a footstep of suffering. What about suffering for one another?
Yes.
Amen.
What about bearing one another's burden?
Amen.
What about forgiving one? What about loving one another? Encouraging one.
Amen.
Praying for one another without ceasing. So Christ left for us such a wonderful example of leading us the footstep, step by step. You cannot go too fast.
Okay.
It is step by step. Not a giant steps. The Lord was not a giant. He took one step and where's the next footstep? Very normal. He is a man like you and me. He became him. Wonderful to follow his footsteps. That's the way he loves you. He loves all of us. There's no other way. There is really no other way. So we need to take this away. Go look. Right. And to fight the battle. You're right.
Amen.
So in the book of Ephesians, talking about the church, everybody likes to talk about the body of Christ. But what about chapter 6? The army as Lord put on the whole armor to fight the battle. We are fighting not against flesh and blood, let alone not fighting against brothers and sisters, but fighting against the principalities and power.
Amen.
Putting on the whole armor of God. The church today is Zion, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of priests. It's a kingdom. So we are fighting against a kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
The authority of darkness.
Amen.
It's a battle. It's a battle. But we have to grow in our spiritual life. We have to be overcomers. And small things to overcome the devil, to overcome temptations, to overcome the world. Because in little things, if we cannot exercise to overcome the devil, then how can we fight the battle? We are fighting the most important battle in the universe, to take the earth away from the usurping hands of Satan. This is why in 1 John chapter 5, it talks about what? The whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. But this earth belongs to you and me. Do you appreciate Psalm 2? Ask of me, the Lord says, and I will give you heaven for your inheritance.
No.
Why not? Isn't heaven more beautiful? How do you know it's more beautiful? Were you there before? No. Ask of me, God says, and I will give you the uttermost part of the earth, the whole earth, for your inheritance. What did he say in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit.
Yes.
Where did it say in the Bible, you shall inherit heaven? Well, you know the scriptures. Show me a verse that we will inherit heaven.
Yeah, find it.
Why not? Because it's not there.
It's not written. You can't find it.
But we're going to inherit the earth. And this is really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, really wonderful. But this earth today is in the usurping hands of the devil. But God promised it to us, but then you have to fight for it.
Amen, amen.
And the Lord fought for it, and
He won. But He won it not just for Himself. He won that battle for us.
Amen.
And you have to see this. He is not going to sit there by Himself on the throne alone. He wants you to be with Him by the others. To share this throne. Mm-hmm. I know so many people today who wants to already sit on the throne. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, I was in a place with big troubles there, and the one who is leading there said, "You're all waiting to rule, but I want to rule now." How are you going to do it? Are you under rule now? No.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is preparing us. To make us kings is not an easy job. He needs to train us to fight the battle. This is why Paul talks about being a soldier. We are warriors. And so, throughout this conference, may the Lord show us the way of life to train us, not just to be alive,
mm-hmm.
but to be strengthened to fight with this spiritual battle, to make us kings and priests, to qualify us to inherit the coming kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. So may the Lord encourage all of us.
Amen.
He really may be coming soon in our time. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have some prayers.
Amen.